Ameritech Property Management. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something
died. You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail.
It says my lawn is unsightly.
What the hell does that mean?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon, folks. Today we have one of our senior property managers with us today to give our listeners his unique perspective as to what's involved in managing community associations, from the maintenance requirements to the property inspections, budgets, financial statements, non-compliance problems, and how about dealing with all those board members and keeping them on track? That's right. Everything you want to know when it comes to community association management. It's that and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Isn't that right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. And Scott is one of our senior managers for over 20 years now. As a matter of fact, he's our very first property manager, so we're pretty proud about that. And just to give you a little history, Mike Perez, who's our CEO and my co-host here,
right.
And Scott each had their plate of properties at one time, and at the end of the day, they would go back to the office and do the accounting. So that's pretty amazing.
You remember those times, right?
If I can remember that far back.
It's been a long time, but welcome to the show, Scott.
Over 20 years.
Oh, thank you, guys.
You're so welcome. It's really good to have you on the show. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of good stories to tell here. Let's just start out with what made you decide to get into property management.
Well, first, let me just say kudos to Mike Perez putting this all together.
Don't start sucking up now. Come on.
I am a little disappointed, you know, because it's been a long time. I finally got to come in here as the senior manager, but I was hoping I'd get a few cabana girls in here.
Fans.
Fans and some grapes, maybe some ding dongs or something. But
cabana girls.
I'm talking about the chocolate little Hostess cupcakes.
Don't you have a fiance at home that's listening to this right now?
Well, I have not. Not actually got on my knees and asked her to marry me yet, so she's not.
Oh, okay, so you still get the cabana girls, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're good then.
They kind of calm your nerves and stuff.
So that's safe then. All right. So what made you decide to get into property management?
I kind of stumbled into it. It's a funny, well, not really a funny story, but I met Mike about 20 years ago. I was actually putting some ceramic tile and some flooring for a general contractor, and I didn't realize that Mike was the...
That was when I was a one-man operation for the most part. I mean, I think it was me and one secretary, right? And he was doing work for me, right?
When you ran into me, you were like, well, who are you? I said, well, I'm doing work for this guy. And when you realized that he was paying me, you said, well, why don't I just pay you for doing the tiles?
That was Craig, wasn't it?
That was Craig.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yep. So you said, so I'd come into your office, you'd give me a check, And then one day you just said, well, so do you know anybody who's got an accounting degree? And I said, right here. He says, why don't you come into my office, do my accounting for me and stuff, and we'll get you, you know, all accoladed. Yeah, and that's when you had the Belcher office?
Yeah, that's the Belcher office. Yeah,
small little office. You just had, like, I think, two guys in there?
Yeah.
That was a good call. Yeah. That was a good call.
And he's been with me ever since.
I know. He's a great manager.
Now I call him my little brother, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we get that all the time. Customers will come, are you Mike Perez? I said, no. Well, you kind of look like him. I said, well, he's my older brother. You know,
you notice how he says older brother.
Yes, you know? Yes, but that's okay. You're still brothers.
Not much older brother, yeah. I should say.
You know, but I was doing the accounting for Mike, and then he heard me talking to customers over the phone, and he says, you know what, why don't you get your LCAM license? You do very well over the phone with people. So here we are, so like 20 years later.
Well, you do. You've got, and I think in this business, you got to have really, really good people skills. And you are. You got really, really good people skills. You communicate well to people, and especially board members, because board members sometimes can be very egotistical and kind of sometimes difficult to deal with, you know?
Tell me about it, yes.
But for the most part, I mean, we got a lot of great board members out there, too.
You're just dealing with a lot of different personalities, and they've got their, I mean, it's a non-paying job to be a board member, so they've got their personal lives, and they sometimes carry that into the board member job, and you get the repercussions of that, so.
Well, also what helped me, too, is Mike's office was just right next door, and I got to listen to how he spoke to the customers, so he's like a mentor.
So you learned, exactly. Yeah. Still is, right?
Yeah. Well, he's still got his office 10 feet away from me. Now he can see me going down the hallway.
Right.
You know,
he's got that big old camera. So you
camera.
can't be that far from his office.
It's funny because I said, you know, you want to run an office, Scott? You want to go Newport Richey, Tampa, you know, St. Pete, Sarasota? He said, nope, I just want to stay in corporate, just a few offices down from you.
That's right. So I want to see the heart of the business.
So how long you been? I know we talked about it, but how long you been with Ameritech?
I want to say, about 20 years.
About 20 years.
20 years.
That's a long time. And
I can't believe it's like, seems like yesterday.
Yeah. So how do you become a community association property manager? Just tell our listening audience what the process is there.
Well, if I can remember, I think you got to go to school.
Hasn't been that long, dude. Now, come on.
Back in the days, I think you actually had to go to a physical location. I don't know if they had it on the internet yet. But it was a two-day course. I think it was 14 hours. And then you go take your state exam. And back then, it was just a pencil test. It wasn't electronic. So I didn't know the results of my test.
It was a number two pencil test. I just want to point that out.
I'm sure.
Yeah, for me, it was number three because it took me three tries to pass that damn test.
Wow.
Wasn't that hard, man. Come on.
No, but it was what the longest part of it was you didn't know what your results were. You had to wait 30 days.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you had to wait another 30 days to reschedule your test. But now now they have it where you know right away. When you pass or if you fail.
All right, interesting. So, Scott, I mean, you deal obviously with a lot of different board members. I mean, you're managing 15, 16 properties right now, which really is the most for most of the 30 or so property managers that we have at Ameritech. How do you deal with all those personalities? I mean, you got some great personalities.
Do you have multiple personalities, Scott?
I have to. You have to almost be like
schizophrenic?
Almost sometimes.
Who are we talking to right now? I just want to know.
No, you do. You got to have a hat for every different little personality from people. I mean, you've got some real positive people out there. You got ones that are never happy. And you just almost feel like I'm a therapist or a mentalist or a psychiatrist. And I think that's what helps me be successful in the career, because that's what you're dealing with is people all the time.
Is that why you wanted that long couch in your office?
Yes, exactly. And they're very soft.
So I think that was for him, though.
Yeah, if you ever guys want to come in and sit down, I only charge by, you know, the minute, because time is, you know, time is money.
Yeah, speaking of time, you know.
Yeah, well, that's just one of your skills, but you have a skill set here that we're going to go through. Effective time management, and that's so important in your job. So tell us how you manage your time and how you – I know you have a lot of responsibilities, so tell us how you do that.
Well, every morning when I get up, I almost have like a plan, and I'm in the shower like, this is the first thing I'm going to do when I get to the office, then I'm going to do this. First thing I do is check my emails, and there's probably 30, 40 emails over the night. People are still on their computers. I mean, these are board members. These are homeowners. Contractors,
board members that can't sleep, right?
Yeah, they get up at 3 a.m. Probably
they're upset about something and they need to just shoot out that email because they don't have time the next day.
Right. Well, that's the first thing I do. I check all my emails. You really don't have too many phone calls in the morning, but that's the next thing I'll do. And then I'll start taking care of action items, calling contractors.
Well, that's good that you do that because we do have a company policy of returning emails and phone calls within 24 hours. So that's
you have to. That'll make or break an association. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get one person that says, "Well, you didn't email me back until 3 days later."
Well, it's people don't realize that when you don't return a phone call or an email, it just increases it by another phone call and another email, and it just complicates the situation even more. And from a time management perspective, it takes them twice as long now to handle this one thing that they should have handled, two or three days ago.
Right.
So time management is really, really
important. Very important. It's really true in every job, but especially with an LCAM.
Well, because you got so many board members, right, Scott, that's telling you what to do and giving you action items. And, you've got to effectively manage your time to get all that stuff done.
Yeah, and it's not something you learn right off the bat when you get your license and you get in the party. You learn that over time. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's experience is the best way to become a better manager.
Right. Yep. Now, budgeting is certainly important when it comes to association, but how important is proper budgeting and sound fiscal planning, especially with reserves and fully funding reserves and capital expenditures and all that stuff? Why don't you tell the audience, our listening audience, a little bit about that?
Well, budgeting is like the backbone of the community. If mm-hmm. you don't have a nice planned budget, you can't get stuff taken care of. You can't pay the contractors. Your grass doesn't get cut. You got single family homes. Their budgets are pretty easy because there's nothing but maybe common areas.
Just the common areas, right.
But once you get into, like, I manage a lot of condos on the beaches, which there could be 4 to 5 stories, even 8 stories, 12 stories high.
Mm-hmm.
That's where your reserves come into play.
Right.
I mean, they got everything, your fire alarm system, the elevator, pools, you name it.
Yeah, and you have to plan for those capital expenditures as well. Well, so we do a good job of that.
Absolutely. And if you don't, what happens? Typically a special assessment, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Or your maintenance fees go up because you didn't plan well enough for your reserves. You were off by so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I know that you have an accounting degree and accounting background, which is definitely great for this job. But what are some of the most critical components to an association financial document, would you say?
Well, I guess it depends. If you're a high rise, the reserves are the most important. And when I put my budgets together, I go through all the invoices, all the contractors. You got to make sure you got the monthly contract price right. You want to anticipate an increase. Insurance is very big on the high rises and communities.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, insurance, the water, especially the water. A lot of condominiums pay for the water.
Right, especially the high rises.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Well, you got the insurance and then maintenance, obviously, and then reserve components when it comes to elevators and generators and all the other components related to a high-rise, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could go on and on forever talking about the budget and how well to prepare for it, but we could actually do that in another segment sometime. But
Yeah.
Right. So what does the association typically get from, I know each management company is probably different, but from Ameritech, what do they get every month when it comes to their financial statement? Can you just give us kind of a brief summary?
So, like, what do the board members get for a financial statement?
Yeah, each month there's a thick packet, obviously.
It's like a mini audit. Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the very first page is the income statement, which is pretty much what the expenses were for the month, what they planned on spending for that month. And then you have your balance sheet, which gives you all the current balances of all the accounts. They may have CDs. They got the money market, which is a whole separate account for the reserves. And then you have your delinquency report, which your board members, when they get that financial statement, the first thing they look at is that delinquency report. Well, how come this guy's got a $2 balance, or why is this one three months behind? What are we doing? That's the most thing they're looking at.
Well, a lot of times with the $2 balance or the 50-cent balance and stuff like that, they don't realize. They think it's a posting error on our part.
Right.
But let's say the maintenance fees are, $150 a month. People will write a check for $149.27.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it shows an outstanding balance. And they scratch their head and say, well, did we do that? And we didn't, And
There's no rhyme or reason as to why people will send in a check for this funky balance, and then it messes up the ledger. And, shows a $3, $5 balance. And a lot of times the board member will say, well, if it's just $2, just whatever. Did you write a letter to them telling the balance? Sometimes we do because it costs a stamp and an envelope. A lot of times I'll just make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
To the owner.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Yeah. Right. But that's what I'm impressed with, is because for you to be in front of the board at a meeting and they're going over the financials, you've already reviewed it, so you know those issues and you know what's gone wrong, so you can advise the board, and that's what they're looking for.
Absolutely. So. And sometimes when we're having a board meeting, the treasurer really doesn't have a report, but I'll bring one with me, and I'll actually be the treasurer in that report for the night, and they appreciate that.
Oh, that's part of your manager's report, which we're going to talk a little bit about that as we go on.
Right.
Yeah.
My manager's report, we talk about the action items. You know, they like to do is they go through the minutes. They read the minutes, and they'll say, well, did you do this? This on the minutes that you were going to check on this non-compliance issue. Mm-hmm. So that's what a part of my manager's report. So a lot of times my manager's report is a delinquency report. That's what they want to talk about. They want to make sure all the maintenance fees are taken care of. And, of course, we talked about the treasurer's report. I'll go over the financial statement and everything.
Right. Especially the balance sheet and reserves and items like that.
Yeah. Each board is different. But we're going to stop for a moment because I think, Tommy, we got some callers on the line, right?
First up tonight is Susan.
Susan, hi. You're on the air with the Ameritech Connection. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. I live in a condo association, so mm-hmm. I know what it's like with all the complaining people, and you know, it's like no one's ever happy. They just want to bitch all the time. So I want to know from Scott, how in the world has he stayed in the business for so long dealing with all these complaining homeowners? You know, what's the trick to it?
Yeah.
He's got a lot of really good drugs, and he's on blood pressure medicine.
Well, that's what I wanted to know.
No, and it's all those different personalities that we talked about. But anyway, Scott,
if I tell you, I'm going to have to kill you later on. I got a hitman that I hire every time for those homeowners get out of line. But no, I mean, how you deal with them over the years, I've built up a real tough skin. And again, my mentor here, Mike Perez, I'm going to brag about you again. But all the conversations I've heard him talk
about. You're not
over
getting
the phone,
a pay raise. I just want to point
man.
That out.
Man. As long as I can keep my office and you don't move me to the basement, I think we'll be okay.
Or the attic.
Right. Don't take my red stapler either. That's an inside joke for those who ever watched the movie called Office, or Office Space, I think it is.
So
you got to have thick skin. Again, you have to be a certain type of manager and able to deal with people. Like we were talking earlier, I guess maybe I'm just more, I guess, natural with that. But over the years, I got to admit, I've gotten a lot better.
Well, you're very easygoing,
yes.
I think that you just connect well with the board members and the homeowners.
Oh, yeah. You can take an angry person and turn them into
a happy person
by just the
diffuse
tone of your
anger.
Voice.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yes.
Right. You're right.
And that's kind of what we do with all our managers, Susan. I mean, for the most part, you know, we look at our managers and, you know, I could certainly hire somebody. In fact, we've hired managers that had 30 years of experience.
Oh, and they had the shortest fuses sometimes.
They were horrible.
Sometimes.
I mean, we lost, I think that one manager, we lost like 6 associations in 1 year, which is the most we've ever lost because of this property
Less
manager.
Less than a year.
Yeah.
Right.
Less
so,
than a year. Was really
so
bad.
It does take a certain type of personality, and that's why we handpick each and every one of our managers to make sure that they fit that mold, because you're dealing with a lot of different people. And, you know, they get a non-compliance letter in the mail, right, Scott? Or they get a delinquency letter in the mail, and they say they paid it, and they're calling up, and they're all pissed off.
Right.
And that's when you got to kind of turn them around and explain things, right?
You do. It's a methodical way you do it. You let them get it out. Don't interrupt them when they're talking. And then when you talk, just, again, it could be the tone. It's your attitude. It's your perspective. You kind of put yourself in their shoes. And by the end of the conversation, they're like, well, thank you. They forgot what they were mad about.
Well, you know what?
Like
you just said, that's key, is they want to be heard, period. Yeah. So you let them talk, and then you calmly answer them. But anyway, Susan, I hope we've answered your question.
Yes, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. All right, Scott, as a property manager, you do have a fiduciary responsibility. So what are those responsibilities to your associations?
Well, the key is that the biggest investment any person will make in life is a home.
Mm-hmm.
So the fiduciary responsibility is to protect their property values, you know, and I mean, that's probably the backbone. I mean, people want to, well, of course, there are some people that when they buy into a community, I don't even think they even realize it's deed restricted.
I know.
Because
I know they don't read the rules, and they're breaking them right off the bat. I mean, we do send out a welcome package.
That's correct. Yeah.
Right, which I think helps a lot, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I have to admit, I was one of those people when I moved from New York and I moved into a deed restricted.
You were one of those typical New Yorkers that kind of came
I did
down
not
here.
Read the documents because I thought, well, I'm
all
a single
pistol.
Family home. It's my property. I can do what I want.
She's like, deed restrictions? Forget about it.
Yeah, forget about it. No, but I obviously didn't have an issue, so.
Well, you're right. Property values, I think, is part of a manager's fiduciary responsibility. Certainly keeping those maintenance fees from going up, right?
Yeah, so you got to keep a good eye on that. Everybody says, well, let's keep the fees down so we don't have to have it's good for buyers. Or I guess does it affect their property value if the fees are really high, or does it maybe affect a
well, it does.
Bank's decision?
It certainly affects the property values if the fees are too high, but at the same time, it's all about property values and maintaining the property. So in order to maintain those property values, you got to maintain the common elements of the property, right, which you need the fees to do that with. So exactly, if there's not adequate fees to do that, then at which point you got to raise them, right, you know? So it's kind of a balancing act when it comes to stuff like that. But certainly, I think that's
part of... I think savvy buyers are going to be looking at the budget. They're going to see where they're at, especially in a condo association.
And as a manager, your fiduciary responsibility is to make sure that board of directors is following Florida statutes, making sure they're not going against the documents. And sometimes you tell them things that they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And I think that's a responsibility of a manager to put forward that sort of...
And that certainly takes a diplomatic approach, you know, telling a board who you kind of, we work for, mm-hmm, they're the ones that tell us what to do, but, you know, we're here as managers to tell them what they need to know, and that's not sometimes necessarily what they want to hear, right?
Yeah. Right. Sometimes you get boards that would put the manager in the back seat, or they put them in the front seat.
That's
you
right.
Either drive, or you're just going to listen to us, put you in the back seat. But again, you have to have your guard up all the time, because we're the ones, as a manager with a license, that can be penalized.
On the line, right.
Right, yep. Right.
I get that.
Tommy, we got some more callers on hold?
Yes, sir. Deborah's next.
Hello, Deborah. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're live on the air. What's your question to Scott?
Hi, Scott. Have you ever had an altercation between homeowners at a meeting, and did ever get so out of hand you had to call the law?
Personally, in my meetings, no.
Awesome.
And I can kind of brag about that, but I have actually been with other meetings and with Mike where we've had like a huge amount of people in that room, and they are just out to get you. And it's not so much Ameritech, but they're so mad about something that the board did, and Mike's up there trying to defend the board. And Mission Hills, I remember that night, it seemed like a big bingo hall. It turned into a nightmare, but you were able to...
Well, we have that. I mean, you know, we support the board. We're behind the board. I mean, whatever the board's decisions are, I mean, we give the board advice and guidance, but it's ultimately their decision. And sometimes it tough decisions are made that not all homeowners understand the process. And they just understand that either the maintenance fees have gone up or there's a special assessment or something's going on. Whereas, you know, when we have that special meeting to approve certain things, they all show up. Now, I always like to bring donuts. Now, here's my little thing with the donuts. And you know where the donuts is going.
Especially
in the retirement communities. You know, if they're all pissed off and they're going to this meeting because they think there's going to be a special assessment or everything's going up, we feed them donuts first. Now, these are typically our 55 and older communities. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The carb crash sets in at about 20 minutes after the donut. And then we lay them with the bad news. So I mean,
and they're asleep at the time, so not any issues. So
No, I've never really had any personal altercations. I know sometimes board members like to struggle. They go across the table to strangle each other, but nobody's ever tried to attack me.
Right.
Yep.
Hey, Deborah, did we answer your question there?
Yeah, sounds good.
Hey, thank you so much for calling, folks. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
At Corliss Barfield, we spent decades representing some of the most powerful insurance companies in America. Now we only represent individuals with troubled insurance claims or whose families have suffered as a result of personal injury. Battling insurance companies is our business. Look for our faces in front of juries all across America, not on cheesy billboards. Corliss Barfield Trial Group, where battling insurance companies is our business and business is good. Give us a call today.
877-517-5595 or visit us on the web at corlissbarfield.com.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Don't stress it.
Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400. Affordable Work Orders Incorporated is based out of Palm Harbor, Florida, and services all the surrounding areas. Affordable Work Orders provides excellent handyman services such as janitorial, maintenance, pressure cleaning, landscape care for common areas in HOAs and condominium communities, and much, much more. With great reviews and friendly service, you can depend on Affordable Work Orders to get the job done right the first time. Our number is 727-709-4895 or visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Affordable Work Orders Inc.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is a senior property manager from Ameritech, Mr. Scott Vigneri, and he's given our listeners his unique perspective as to what's involved in managing community associations. So, Scott, welcome back, guys, by the way. And, Scott, I got a question for you.
Sure.
You've been in this business for a long time. There's got to be some really funny stories out there you can tell us that some of our listeners would like to hear.
Well, as far as being out in the field or any of the properties that I manage, nothing really comes to me right now. The first thing that comes to me, as far as a funny story, is related to Ameritech. One day I came into the office and everybody was kind of crowded outside my office. And as I came in, they were like, wait, don't go in your office yet. So I look around the corner and there's this chimpanzee sitting at my desk in a chair, you know, kind of jumping on the keyboard with a telephone in his hand. And I'm like, I forgot that you were doing a commercial for Ameritech.
Yeah, it's a live chimpanzee we put in the office.
A real one, yeah. Yes. She was cute. I didn't work there at the time.
She was a female, and she did take a liking to Mike Perez.
Mm-hmm.
There were some few pictures with you guys.
That was the
hugging.
Best I could do.
Kissing and hugging.
Now he's moved up to the mountain gorilla.
That's right. That's right. I got the mountain gorilla.
I guess they were telling. And where did you get the chimpanzee from?
Well, it was a baby chimp. It was a really cool commercial that we put together, and obviously
I loved it.
The whole synopsis of the commercial was the theme was that, you know, the monkey was sitting at your desk with the phone in his hand, and then the voice
tossing it around, yeah, like he was frustrated.
And the voiceover said, "Does your management company return your telephone calls?" And then he was flipping, you know, through a book and everything else.
And he's got a tie on, too, shirt and tie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we dressed him up. And then we flipped him through. That's right. And we were flipping through a book and everything. And, you know, the other voiceover would come and say, "Are they taking care of your noncompliance or your action items?" So it was a pretty funny effect. It's still online. If you go to, you know, AmeritechCompanies.com, you'll be able to see all of our TV commercials that we put together.
That's my favorite. Yeah, and that was a good story.
The whole time I'm here like, oh, my God, my computer is probably not going to even work anymore. And you guys said, well, we made sure we turned it off first. But,
smart.
Thank God.
Thought ahead.
That's true. I will say this, though, that was funny. Speaking of some office funnies, it was April Fool's one day.
I was going to say that, but I got one I was going to talk about, but go ahead.
But it was really funny because, you know, I hear Scott in there, and he comes in, and he's got that real busy kind of leave me alone attitude. Mm-hmm. You know, you can
look
tell
on his face.
Yeah, you can tell it's like he's got way too much on his plate. So he sits down at his computer, and when he takes his mouse and he points it in one direction,
oh yeah,
the girls rigged it to go in a different direction. So
I was like, what the heck?
He's
going
back
here
and forth, and all I hear him saying, what the hell is going on?
Oh, that's funny.
But just one more. That on the April Fool's Day, I remember the girls blocked off Mike Perez's
office.
Yes, they
put drywall
up. They looked like a wall there.
No, they actually put drywall up. Yep, the maintenance guy did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a little bit too much.
That was funny.
I don't know how much it cost me to have that wall put up there. But it was like I never existed, you know?
I know.
I thought it was pretty genius. I think Jennifer in the office did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's good. All right, Tommy, I think we have a couple callers on the line.
Yeah, Mary is next.
Hi, Mary. You've got the Ameritech Connection. Do you have a question for Scott?
I sure do. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Janice. Or who's this again?
Mary.
Mary. I'm sorry.
Mary, yes. It sounds like you put a lot of miles on your car. You know, you're going down the beach all the time, and you know,
he's got a lot of mileage. Period, right, Scott?
I got a lot of mileage there, huh, Scott?
I just keep getting that tune-up, change that oil, and I'll keep going.
Well, I was wondering, do you get a company car? Or
hey, knock it off,
he's
Mary.
Got a bicycle.
Well, Mike did say after 25 years with the company, he'll give me a
that
company
Mercedes.
Car.
I could have swore it was 50.
You only have five more to go, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, we've got a pretty good CPA that actually... Can I say his name on the air?
Sure.
Eddie Page does my taxes every year, and he does give me a nice deduction on the mileage. So kudos to him for doing that. But I do get some sort of tax write-off on that.
Right. So, but no company car, Mary. So
no company car
so
yet.
Yeah. No. So don't go there. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling us, Mary.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Tony, thanks for listening to me.
Oh, you're so welcome. All right, Scott. Let's talk about how do you handle your property inspections, and we all know how important that is, especially with condo. Even the single family homes, but the condo associations on a weekly basis. You know, what do you look for? I know everybody is different, but. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah. Well, let's go with the single family homes. Those are the ones where you usually drive with a board member. And
I like
you're
that.
Looking at the curb appeal.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for the yards, trash cans left out at the curb all the time. You're looking at the condition of the painting, the roofing.
Weeds, rust.
And a lot of times it's mostly landscaping or trash cans. And when you do single family homes, there's one that we have that I used to manage called Lake St. George. And there's like 400 and something homes, and when you
we still manage them, but
we still manage them.
Exactly, one of your first properties.
And we still go out with a board member and do those inspections.
Yes.
We have
now because mine are on the beach. A lot of my high rises, when you go in there, and I'll meet up with a board member or their on-site maintenance man, which is a lot their backbone. Also, you got to have a maintenance man there full time. And you're checking, you get up on the roof, make sure that some people have generators on the roof. So you want to make sure that's working properly. They have the fire alarms and stuff, but for the most part.
So you're being proactive in every aspect.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to be proactive, and they appreciate that.
Yeah. Now, if you were to do townhomes, which is considered an HOA, are you allowed, if there's common area in the back, to actually be on that common area and look at the back of the house?
Yes, you have to. The townhome has a back lanai, and people clutter their lanais.
Yeah.
They got barbecue
they
grills on their lanais.
They might have satellite dishes there or something that aren't allowed.
Satellite
you never know.
Dishes are just as long as they're not going through the wood on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
That can be contentious with some owners.
Well, that could be potentially a problem at times, right?
Yes.
When you're especially when you're walking through somebody's backyard, looking in their windows, the dogs are coming after you.
Well, a lot of the townhomes.
With the townhomes, that's what I'm saying. Like the common area in the back. I mean,
it's
are
all
you
common
allowed?
Area. Yeah, they're not fenced in. A lot of townhomes.
So you're not hopping anybody's fence or anything like that.
Not unless there's a dog chasing me or something. You know? And then I write a letter to that homeowner. Keep your dog on a leash.
That's right. So how do you deal with non-compliance issues? I know you, as you're doing your property inspections, obviously non-compliance.
I'm sure there's a lot of irate homeowners that get these letters. So.
A lot of times, it just depends on what the violation is. I'll just make a simple phone call to the homeowner.
Good.
Yeah, but if it's like 20 of the same thing, I'll just get to the admin and have them put a letter out. Friendly reminder, because people get very defensive when they get their letters. So you got to make sure that letter's written in a nice way for the first time. But sometimes I'll just make a phone call if it's real simple, and people actually thank me. Oh, thank you. I'm glad I didn't get one of those little friendly reminders.
Right. Well, it's a lot more delicate for certain. And
It just depends on the violation, how long it's been going on.
All right. So how do you conduct your board meetings? Because I know that a lot of boards talk to us about, homeowners being an interruption and they're irate and they just you want to give them time to talk, okay, but you don't necessarily want them to talk at the beginning because then your board meeting could go a lot longer, and some are very irate. So how do you keep the board on track?
It depends. Sometimes you have a board of directors that likes to do all the talking.
Yes.
I've been in meetings where I sometimes don't even have to talk. I just, when they'll look at me if there's a question presented by someone in the membership. But a lot of times I'll even almost run the meeting because they just like the fact that they don't have to say anything. They just kind of sit there and say, well, he knows what he's talking about. And a lot of times when you do your manager's report, you know, that's when actually when a board member will actually kind of chime in. It's kind of a share, 50% share kind of thing.
But what about when the homeowners want to talk, and maybe you will have some irate people that are there?
Well, I like to sit next to the president when we're sitting at the table. Mm-hmm. And if a homeowner is out there kind of interrupting the meeting, I'll kind of nudge the president. I say, you got your gavel? You might want to they're kind of getting off track here.
Yeah.
You might want to say, we'll get to your question. It's probably somewhere else on the agenda. But,
so you follow Robert's rules for the most part, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. That's to have them talk at the end?
Well, either that or it's just to stay on track as far as the agenda is concerned. You know, if they're talking about maybe replacing roofs, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't want some homeowner out there talking about his maintenance fees or, you know, I need my backyard fence fixed or something totally off topic. I mean, you can kind of direct them so they still have a voice towards typically the end of the meeting, maybe an open session or whatever.
Yeah. A lot of times I'll tell my board members before the meeting starts, I said, if an owner decides to talk about something, if it's at least on the subject we're talking about, give him a chance to talk about it instead of making them wait to the end of the meeting. And some boards will say, that's a great idea. And some will say, well, no, we'll just wait. We'll make them wait. But for the most part, I've seasoned my board members to pretty much listen to the homeowners as we're talking about the subjects. If they bring it up, what we're talking about, let them get their concerns out.
Yeah, I like that.
Right, okay. Right. So, I mean, your vendors, I think vendors are very, very important when it
Absolutely.
Comes to maintaining your condos and HOAs, and they make us look good
if you've
got the right vendors. So how do you maintain that relationship with good vendors, and how important is it to have a good vendor?
Well, vendors is another part of the backbone to a community. If you've got to have good vendors for your property, because if you start doing the job for your vendors, then it's just so much time consuming. But yes, vendors are very important. It's very important to treat your vendors good, to pay them on time, because if they don't get paid on time, they call the board member, and then the board member calls the office saying, it's been 3 weeks, it's been over a month since this guy got, you know, since he did his job and he hasn't been paid.
Well, we're really good with
we
that.
We are. We're very good.
And I'm sort of the facilitator of the preferred vendors at our office, and they're vetted, so we know that they have their liability insurance in place. We have copies of that as well as their licenses. So, and like you just said, we want vendors that make us look good.
We do, and the word spreads quickly. If a vendor gets paid like right off the bat, and there are sometimes we cut checks Johnny on the spot for them.
Yeah, I get a lot of compliments on the fact that we do pay our vendors on a timely basis.
Especially if it's a big job.
Well, yeah, we don't let them. We don't hold them out for 30 or 45 days.
No, we get a lot of compliments about how we pay our vendors on time.
Yeah, right. And some of these people, you know, if they've already bought the materials and they've invested the money, so they just want to get their money back. Right.
And they're little guys, too.
A lot of them are.
And it's the little guys that really do the best job. I mean, there's big companies out there that do a great job as well.
Well, listen, these vendors, they know that Ameritech is growing and they want to grow with us.
They
so
do.
We and like the fact that they're going to offer our communities good prices and good quality work.
And then when you need them in crucial times, they're going to remember, hey, they paid me on time. I'm going to go make them my priority, especially at the Irma. I mean, it got crazy trying to find contractors. But if you've got a good relationship with your contractors, they're like, no problem, man. I'm out there now.
Yes.
They make you a priority.
Well, with Irma, in fact, I'm proud to say with all my managers that by day two, we had visited every single one of over 200 communities that we manage.
Yes.
So I thought that was kind of very good. And it was our objective, and we actually achieved our objective.
We did. I got a lot of compliments about the Irma, how well the contractors got out there pretty quickly.
Right. Tommy, we got somebody on hold.
You have Kimberly next.
Hi, Kimberly. You've reached the Ameritech Connection. Do you have a question for us?
I do. I have a question for your property
Big
manager.
Mary, yes.
Yes. My question is, how do you like to work with Mike Perez?
That is a loaded question.
Yeah.
Remember, I'm sitting right next to you, dude.
Yes.
As long as I take my high blood pressure medication every day, I think I'll be okay. You know, what's that, Xanax and stuff?
Depends on what personality you have.
No, I got to admit, when we first started, you know, Mike, he's a perfectionist, you know, and he had no tolerance for mistakes and stuff. So I think he threw a piece of Hostess cupcake at me one day.
I never threw a cupcake.
I think it was a ding dong.
No, that's right. And I called you a ding dong too.
Yeah, you did. No, right now I love working with the company, and Mike's, you know, he's the one that keeps the company going. That's why I liked just working right down the hallway from him. And Mike, he seems to be a real happy guy right now too, for some reason. But I think everybody kind of figured that out. But yeah, I enjoy working with Mike, and I think we got a really good bunch of people at Ameritech. It's like a family. So yeah.
I agree.
Well, what's also kind of cool is Scott's been with me for over 20 years,
right?
As my first manager, and most of the people in our office, which we've got pretty close to
100
people,
mm-hmm.
We've got people that have been there for 10, 15. We have very little turnover.
Yeah, I like
so,
that.
So, you know, that's
it really matters to our associations, our homeowners, that they can call in and get the same people year after year.
Right.
You know, you establish those connections and those relationships. Yeah. They're important.
But it talks about the environment, you know. I mean, that goes to show you the environment that everybody likes, you know, working at.
Yeah, when you got a happy boss and you got a happy employees, and it's just an overall good atmosphere.
You are not getting a raise. So I'm just telling you.
I try not to piss him off the night before. Okay. All right, Kimberly, I hope we've answered your question.
Well, you have. And, you know, I got something to say on that. He must be doing something really good because to keep somebody that long.
I know, right? That speaks volumes.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I know. You're right. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for your call.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
You too.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick 2-minute commercial break. We're going to be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Sun Paints and Coatings is your hometown paint store, family owned and operated for over 40 years. Sun Paints has 6 locations throughout Hillsborough, Pinellas, and Pasco counties. Sun Paints and Coatings manufactures Daico brand paints in Tampa and is an authorized distributor of Benjamin Moore and PPG paints. Sun Paints and Coatings works closely with property management companies, HOAs, condo associations, and individual homeowners, helping ensure a great project. Trust the experts at Sun Paints and Coatings. Sun Paints is the best paint under the sun. Visit us at sunpaintsandcoatings.com.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey!
What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me!
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves at providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly 3 decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation.
At 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
McDonald Pest Control is more than just another pest control company. We focus on providing outstanding service and quality products at a fair price. We feel you shouldn't pay for services you don't need, and we do not believe in over-treating or using excessive products. We evaluate each location and create an individual program that's designed to treat the needs of your home or business. McDonald Pest Control has the expertise to meet all of your commercial and residential needs, and we can get the job done right the first time. Set up an appointment today. Call us at 727-734-0963, or you can email us at mpcmanage@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Ameritech Senior Property Manager Scott Vigneri, and he's giving our listeners his unique perspective as to what is involved in managing community associations. So, Scott, insurance is a very important aspect of condo associations. So why don't you talk about the different types of insurance requirements?
Sure. Now, insurance is probably the biggest ticket item on the budget.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of insurance. You've got the building insurance. You've got the wind, which is your hazard.
What's interesting about the wind is it's got a deductible, which a lot of people don't know about.
Yes. Oh, really?
Talk a little bit how that deductible works.
Yeah. Well, it's like whatever the value of the building is, you either have a 3% or a 5% deductible. So let's say Irma would fall under a claim if somebody has some substantial damage. I got one of my communities over off of Island Estates in Clearwater. mm-hmm. where it picked up a part of an air conditioner and it punctured the roof, but the air conditioner went kaput. Well, the deductible is $120,000.
Oh, my gosh.
And the community does not have that money, so they're probably going to have to special assess for it.
Right, because it works off the 3% or the 5% works off the gross value of the building. So let's say the insurance on that building is $30 million. You know, it's 3% or 5% of 30 million. I mean, a lot of people don't get that, and they think it's 3% or 5% of what the total premium might be.
Right.
But that's certainly not the case.
Well, one good news for the homeowners, though, let's say they have a high rise and Irma took out their glass sliding doors. Well, that actually can be, that's actually the owner of the association's responsibility. On a storm, it would be the association. However, just normal maintenance, wear and tear is the owner. I just learned that, too.
Right.
So that's the biggest one. And you have your flood. Flood can be ridiculous depending on what zone you're in. So, like, for instance, when Irma came, what's the worst zone, V or VE or something?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and that's a huge premium every year. That kind of stays pretty – it goes up about 5%. When I do my budgets, I call the agent and say, what do you think, 5%? Yeah, that sounds about right. Then you got your liability, your slip and falls, and you got your directors and officers.
Right.
Make sure you have your directors and officers.
I was just going to say, that's important.
It is very important because you never know when somebody's going to be mad at the board of directors and sue them for something that they thought was a bad decision.
They sue them.
That's exactly right.
And then crime, very important to know, because whatever happens if an employee or somebody on the board just decides to take off with all the money, you know, they're out of luck unless they have that crime bond,
right,
which should be equal to the amount of money they have in the bank at all times.
Right. Interesting. What about foreclosures? I know, especially in the 2007 and 8 crisis, we were recommending that most of our communities actually foreclose and take possession of those units, kind of on a dirty title type perspective.
Yes.
How does that work to benefit the association?
Well, back, you know, when you were saying in those years, it could take forever for a bank to come in and take over. In the meantime, you're bleeding. So you got to stop the bleeding. An association can actually foreclose a lot quicker than the banks in those days, because you want to keep that revenue coming. So the directive is for the board to foreclose on it, put a tenant in there, and start getting rent to offset the maintenance fees that haven't been paid.
Right, yeah. Right.
And you want to be very aggressive on that, because if you let it get away for so long, then the bank's back and you're in a race with the bank.
Okay.
So really they're collecting the rent. The rent is offsetting that reoccurring assessments, which obviously that's the bleed factor.
Right.
And the additional, because they're going to rent it a lot more than what the assessments are, the additional offsets the deficit that they incurred not only for the delinquency, but also for the legal fees in getting through that foreclosure process.
That's correct. Right. Yep. Yeah. Now the foreclosures the banks are taking them over really quick. So it's kind of a different scene now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So Scott, how do you communicate with your boards? I know emails, and you can set it up for group emails with the boards, but just tell us a little bit about
sure.
that.
Sure. I want to say majority of my boards love to communicate through email.
Yeah.
That's like I was saying earlier. I mean, I'll come in the office in the morning and there's so many emails from the board members, but it's actually a really good tool. A lot of times board members, they'll just want to pick up the phone and call you. They just send a simple little email. But you got to be very careful in emails, because if there's any type of voting going on, you got to let them know. I mean, because statutes are very clear on that. You can't make any sort of voting decisions through email. You can ratify them at a meeting. So I tell my board members, all right, so if you want to kind of get this done, we'll get it done. But let's make sure for the minutes it's ratified through the
minutes. The next board meeting has got to be ratified. So it's got to be on the agenda.
Right. But email is the biggest communication for my board members.
Now, you talked about agendas, obviously, earlier. And those meeting notices and agendas have to be posted, right?
Yes. Yes. And that's very important, too, because you could get a slap on the wrist or somebody challenges it. You didn't post your meeting notice 48 hours in advance. And then your annual meetings also have to be posted on somewhere conspicuous on the property. If it's a special meeting for the membership, it's a 14-day notice that has to be sent to the members and put on the bulletin board.
Well, it's a good point that you mentioned annual meetings. So not only do you have to meet the statutory mailing requirements to all the unit owners, mm-hmm. you know, if it's a condo, it's a 60-day and then the 14-day notice, but you also have to post the agenda.
That's correct.
On the property, which a lot of people, you know, don't do.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see it posted as well. So that's a real key point.
Yeah. So you attend all the board meetings, of course, so and you have your manager's report. We talked a little bit about that at the beginning of the show, but what is that manager report about? It's, you know, you mentioned the financials and you got your action items, but just talk a little bit about that.
It's a lot of just following up from your last meeting. They go, especially when you're going through the minutes, you'll say, well, did you get this done? And I'll have it on my manager's report. Yes, I took care of this non-compliance issue. It just there's action items. We had to repair the pool pump. That's all been done. The gate broke. We got the for the vehicles. That's all fixed. That'll be under the manager.
And probably
report.
Your non-compliance too is whether they've been resolved.
Right. You'll get the question. Well, did he finally cut his grass? Yes. Is he still putting his trash cans out in the front? Yes. It's all been taken care of. I'll have like a little report for them that I can give them on the side.
This is a communication and it's
yes, communication
in writing.
So so proposals as well. I mean, if they're asking for roofing bids or
right,
painting
right,
specs
yeah.
or anything like that, you'll present
good
those
point.
In the packet, right?
Absolutely. And a lot of times after the boards are familiar with these vendors, when it comes to replacing their roofs or painting, they'll remember the last company that did it, and they'll go out and get three bids anyways, but they loved who they went with last time, but it's always very important to get three bids, especially when you're talking thousands and thousands
yeah.
of dollars.
Right, for these larger projects.
All right, yeah. So we just have a minute or so here, so I just want to ask you about the projects. There's a lot of projects that go on, your painting, your roofing, your paving. Just tell us a little bit about what you do and how you get involved with that.
Sure. The last project I was on was a roofing project, and, you know, you're out there just making sure, you know, they have a foreman, but you also want to be out there to interact, making sure that the project is going pretty smoothly because you don't want to see no shortcuts taken. And I've been on painting projects. I've been on seal coat projects. The biggest thing about seal coat is making sure people get their cars off the road
right.
so you can seal coat. I got to go
just
knock on the doors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we have to tow them, we relocate them to the next parking lot. We don't actually impound them. And they appreciate that.
Interesting.
Oh, very much.
What kind of advice would you give someone that's considering getting into community association management?
You know, they have to really be able to work with people. They want to help people. You're a problem solver. A manager puts out fires all the day.
I like
people
that.
Come to you. They come with problems, and they want to know that they feel comfortable with you solving them. So you want to be going. If you want to be a property manager, you want to be able to. Relate to people.
You got to be able to communicate
well. You got to have a positive perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know how to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have thick skin, and you want to be able to just, you know, calm them down.
Well, that's very interesting. Listen, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Keep listening. We'll be right back.
We're done.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called The Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on TAN Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? You have issues. How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.